Visiting a bioluminescent bay is like swimming in the stars. Your skin activates the water like little starbursts, and the more you move, the brighter it gets. Puerto Rico has some of the most brilliant bioluminescent bays, but this fall, the Fajardo Lagoon in the northeast part of the island went dark. And just last week, another one on the small island of Vieques did too. So what pulled the plug on these glowing lagoons? Is this natural or due to some human influence? Let me bring in our guest. Edith Witter is the CEO and senior scientist at the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Fort Pierce, Florida. Welcome to Science Friday.
It's very nice to be here. Thank you.
So one of the reasons I'm so interested in this is I was just in Puerto Rico myself. I went to go see the bioluminescent bay, and it wasn't working. We're going to get to maybe why it went dark in a moment, but what makes Puerto Rico such a good place for these bays in the first place?
Well, there are very few of them left. There used to be more in the Caribbean, and a lot of them have gone dark now. And so the fact that Puerto Rico actually has three of them that are still extant really sets it apart.
What exactly is glowing in the water when we go into one of these things we call a biobays?
They are bioluminescent dinoflagellates, which are single-celled algae, and they are a particular species in the Caribbean. It's called Pyridinium bahamense, and these dinoflagellates, these single-celled algae, are actually using the bioluminescence as a form of defense. So when their predators, which are often copepods or shrimp, try to eat them, they flash in order to make the copepod or shrimp swim away, and thereby defend themselves. And this transience of the bioluminescence is one of the things that makes it so breathtakingly beautiful. It's very hard to capture in images, and that's why you get people who have been to one of these bioluminescent bays talking about what a magical experience it actually is.
If you've been to one of these bioluminescent bays and you've enjoyed this experience, you can call us at 844-724-8255. Again, 844-SCI-TALK. It seems somewhat counterintuitive that these little things would light up in order to stave off predators.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult to explain, but what they're actually doing is something that's called a bioluminescent burglar alarm. And the idea is that the flash of light reveals the predator, the copepod or the shrimp, to its predators, like a fish, that wouldn't see it otherwise. So it's the same reason you have a burglar alarm on your car. The flashing lights and beeping horn are meant to attract attention. And so the shrimp and copepods have evolved a protection mechanism against that, in that they swim away when they see that flash of light, because they now know they've been revealed to their predators and they need to get out of there. Interestingly, in freshwater environments where there aren't bioluminescent dinoflagellates, but there are copepods, if you flash a light at a copepod there, they don't swim away. So it is an evolved defense mechanism. It's actually the same one we used to attract the giant squid out in Japan last year. We used a bioluminescent burglar alarm to draw it in. So it does work to draw in predators.
I want to talk more about some of the work that you've done in the deep oceans as well, looking at some of these bioluminescent creatures. But let's talk about why you think the lagoons in Puerto Rico have gone dark.
Well, I think that they're an indicator of what's happening in a lot of different places in terms of the impact that we're having on the environment. Animals have a specific range of variables, environmental variables, in which they're happy and healthy, just the way we do. You know, they have a certain temperature range, a certain salinity range, and human activities bump these things out of whack, and so animals leave or die. And a lot of the time we're unaware of that, but because the bioluminescent bays have this spectacular visual feature, then we are aware that we're impacting them. And it's been different in different bays as to, you know, what has had the greatest impact. It's a really interesting, complex combination of factors that make these bays be bioluminescent year-round. It's in the tropics, so it's a pretty stable environment year-round. They have to have a certain amount of sunlight. The bays have to usually be surrounded with mangroves, which provide a critical vitamin for the dinoflagellates. They're usually shallow. They usually have a narrow mouth. So something that's happened to a lot of these bays is that people have come in and widened or deepened the inlet to a bay for boat traffic, but then that allows the dinoflagellates to flush out. There's prevailing winds that sometimes play a part because dinoflagellates swim. They migrate up and down in the water column, and one of the things that keeps them in a particular bay may be the wind patterns that hold them in when they're at the surface of the water during the daytime. So, you know, all of these factors play into whether a bay is healthy or not. Another one is light pollution.
Well, and actually, I want to talk about light pollution because this is an important thing. I want to first tell our listeners that I'm John Dankosky. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. I'm talking with Edith Witter, CEO and senior scientist at the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Fort Pierce, Florida. We're talking about bioluminescent bays, why some of them may be going dark. You were talking about light pollution. How does that affect things?
Well, because the bioluminescence actually serves a critical function for these dinoflagellates, it's a protection mechanism. If the light pollution is so high that the bioluminescence no longer can function the way it's intended to, then the dinoflagellates will be preyed upon and wiped out. So, and obviously, the light pollution destroys the appreciation of the bay for anybody that wants to go to see it. The best time to see a bioluminescent bay is in the dark of the moon, in the darkest place possible. And the ironic thing is, you know, people are drawn to these bays, which means that hotels want to come in and build around them, and then they put up their lighted areas, and that destroys the area. So, you know, it's killing the goose that laid the golden egg, the old story.
I want to get to a call. Huntley's calling from St. Simon's Island in Georgia. Hi there.
Hi. It's interesting that you just said that. I was only one time experienced this on the island of Vieques that's off the mainland part of Puerto Rico, and there was that old place they called the Frenchman Hotel that was there, and they would take on a moonless night, the only time they would take the group of people there, and they had a electric flat boat, and there was just a small lagoon, and they had explained, just as you were saying, that there was just a certain right amount of the disintegration of the trees that were around there and the roots that, of course, these dinoflagellates lived. And what was the most amazing part to me was, as any movement in this dark night, you could see every creature that was moving underneath, including stingrays, and there were even flying fish jumping up where there were just like pearls dripping off of the water. And we were able to get in and swim in it, and just to pick up a handful of water was the most amazing thing. It's amazing. It's so sad that environment is changing.
Well, and I really want to get back and see it, and we just have a little bit of time left, but I have to ask you, Edith, if they go dark, can they come back?
Yes, and there have been instances where they have. It depends on what the problems are. There have been instances in the past where these bays have temporarily gone black after a storm event that's kind of flushed them out, but then they will come back. And there's other places where they've become more seasonal, but it would be lovely if they could be maintained and actually be studied, because there's a lot of information about how algae blooms and forms blooms that could be learned from studying these bays. So they're valuable scientifically as well.
Edith Witter is CEO and senior scientist at the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Fort Pierce, Florida. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.